Good evening. This is the Patrick Cimpone Show. The phone lines are open for you at 836-0590. Now, Patrick Cimpone.
Well, welcome back. I'm glad you didn't go anywhere. 6 minutes after 7. And this is hour number 2. Well, we're here till 10 o'clock tonight. In for Kenny Rohmeyer, who's taking a week off. We'll talk about same-sex marriages as well as the Bible and abortion and all kinds of stuff between 9 and 10 o'clock. I think you'll find it fascinating, so stay right there. This hour, our guest is Dr. Philip Nkayo. He's an MD. He's out of Denver, Colorado. PhilipNkayo.com. Dr. Nkayo has been studying vaccinations and the immune system for the past 27 years. He's been working on a book for about 5 years or so. And he went to Wesleyan University, received an MD from Albert Einstein College of Medicine in 1966. And he has recently been mentioned in Mothering Magazine. It's an interesting article called The Healing Crisis. It's in the July issue of Mothering Magazine. Dr. Nkayo, welcome to KLBJ Radio.
Thank you, Patrick.
How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm pretty good, thanks.
Well, nice to have you here.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Nkayo, you've been at this for a very long time. And let's start like this. You believe that most children's feverish illnesses and inflammations, rashes, diarrhea, vomiting, the little ones now, are a natural cleansing process of the immune system, and that these symptoms are the body's way of developing the ability to heal itself. Is that right?
Yes, that's essentially right. Of course, you know, any of these reactions must be monitored to make sure that they don't get out of control.
Mm-hmm.
But you could say that an inflammation is nature's correction of, or it's a reaction to stress. You know, if you stress someone, it's going to make them sick. I think one example you could give would be, this would happen in a child too, if a child were exposed to that, but it certainly happens in adults. For example, you expose a child to a toxin,
mm-hmm.
Which is a stress. Now, inflammation is a natural way of detoxifying the body. So, if you expose a child to a lot of cigarette smoke, well, in a day or two, they'll probably get a cold or a bronchitis. And this bronchitis is a way of clearing out the smoke that they've absorbed.
So it's not, the bronchitis when exposed to cigarette smoke is not necessarily a disease that has come into the body, and we call it bronchitis, but it could be an inflammation of the lungs that's dealing with the smoke, and then we have called it bronchitis.
That's right. Bronchitis simply means inflammation of the bronchial passages.
Give us another example.
Well, I mean, you could call that an infection if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's really two different ways of thinking about the same phenomenon, about the same process. It's exactly the same thing, but it's just two different ways of looking at it, two different ways of describing it. Since the time of Pasteur, we've tended to think of everything as an infection. And we find a germ that's connected with something, and then we call it an infection. But we forget that even if a germ is there, the germ might not be the real primary cause. It might just be a kind of a scavenger. For instance, another example would be if you have a splinter in your skin,
mm-hmm.
it's going to start causing some pus to form around it, and if you look into that pus, you may find a germ that's involved in that. You could say, oh, you've got an infection, we should give you an antibiotic. but a much simpler solution would be just to remove the splinter, and then the infection would go away. Now, so the fact that a germ may be present in that pus, that the germ is not the primary cause. The primary cause is that you've got a splinter there. And the germ is just a secondary thing. In fact, the germ may be helping to digest the splinter. So that's, in other words, it makes things more complicated, but it's a more truthful way of looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Germ theory is very simplistic.
So, So mom's listening now, and their little ones get some of these things we talked about in the onset, fevers, or inflammation of some kind, vomiting, rashes, those kinds of things.
A lot of these things are caused by stress to a growing child.
Stress? What kind of stress?
Well, if they've gotten chilled, for example.
Mm-hmm.
They've gotten chilled. I remember one patient that their heat went out in the house, and the child was sleeping in a very, very cold bedroom. And then the child got a pneumonia after that. So that was a stress.
But now, excuse me, let me interrupt, sir. When we say pneumonia, that doesn't mean there's this pneumonia germ that was floating around and he caught it, right?
Well, see...
Or not?
Well, here's the explanation for that. Most of us have the idea that when we're healthy, we have no germs in our body, and then when we get sick, it's because we suddenly catch a germ. But the reality is that there's all kinds of germs, even bad germs, even pneumonia germs, that are in our bodies all the time. But as long as we keep a certain balance in our immune system and a balance in our energy, and we're not excessively stressed, those germs don't get out of control. They get out of control when something gets off balance in us, and I think what's the primary cause is that we develop an inner state of poisoning, and that's something that happens when the adrenals get stressed too, and any kind of stress will cause metabolic cellular processes that can then trigger germ growth, and then the germs trigger the immune system to react. But the germs are kind of they're not the primary process. They're a secondary. They're a middle link in the chain. Let's see. Maybe another example would help. You could look at germs the same way you look at, let's say, flies. You know, if you have a clean kitchen, you're not going to attract flies.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a lot of food left out in your kitchen, it's going to start attracting flies. And the flies basically only grow when there's something that's going to feed them. So you're going to have more and more flies if they have more and more food. If there's nothing that they could eat, they're going to leave. And it's the same with germs in our body. And what germs feed on is basically they feed on, you could say, cellular debris or cellular waste. When, for instance, if you have a burn and you create and you kill a lot of cells there's a lot of what's called necrotic tissue. In other words, something that causes cell injury and cell death, then you have all this breakdown products of cells, all this cellular waste, and that's what germs tend to mop up, that kind of cellular waste, and they tend to grow where there's a lot of waste product in the body. In the same way, when if you have a, you know, using an external example, you have your compost pile. There's life, living material that is breaking down, food material that's breaking down, and this is a process of cellular breakdown and cellular decay, and that always attracts certain kinds of organisms. Like it'll attract maggots and it'll attract different kinds of vermin, and they break down they further break down and they recycle this waste matter. In fact, you know, there's a treatment that's used, and it's actually very successful when there are these very infected wounds, especially in diabetics, where antibiotics usually don't help that much, and the wound just never heals. These chronic ulcers and chronic wounds, they actually have this therapy where they take maggots that have been sterilized so that they're clean maggots, and they put them on the wound, and they only consume the dead tissue and they don't consume any of the living tissue, and the wound is cleaned up by these maggots. And I'm saying that what the bacteria do is the same thing, only on a smaller scale.
Mm-hmm. And you say and read somewhere that if moms give Tylenol, ibuprofen, aspirin to these inflammations early, that it actually can drive the toxins deeper and cause allergies, asthma, eczema, and other autoimmune diseases later in life, right?
Yes.
Well, and we're going to talk, that'll be the first thing up on the agenda one after our break. Stay right there. Dr. Philip Nkaya is our guest. He's an MD out of Denver, Colorado. And if you care to join us, 836-0590, toll free, 877-590-KLBJ, if you're calling outside of the state. 836-0590. If you got a little one you'd like to talk about, then we'll talk about vaccinations as well. Stay right there. It is 19 minutes after 7 o'clock. My name is Patrick Timpone.
This is the Patrick Timpone Show. Call us now at 836-0590. Once again, here's Patrick.
And we are talking with Dr. Philip Nkaya. He's an MD out of Denver, Colorado. He went to Wesleyan University, received his MD from Albert Einstein College of Medicine in 1966. He's been working with vaccinations for a very long time. He's actually been an expert witness in court cases in 4 different trials concerning vaccinations. And he sees only 5 patients a day. Wow, that's different, isn't it, Dr. Nkaya? 5 patients a day, huh?
Yeah, I spend a long time with each patient.
Well, good for you, Doc. Now, we're going to take some calls in a second, 836-0590, #590, if you're mobile. Now, we were saying right before the break that, so let's see, on inflammation of some kind, right, that a six-month-old baby might get, what really is happening here? Is the body... immune system, something is working? Does that mean the body is working?
Yeah, it's...
like a rash or maybe fever, diarrhea, those kinds of things. Could that mean that the body is dealing with an imbalance?
Yes, definitely. It's, you know, I mean, a symptom like that is always considered to be abnormal.
So do you think that a mom should not do anything at that point?
Well, you have to try to figure out why the symptom is happening. If it's inflammation, the inflammation is a self-healing process most of the time, unless it gets totally out of control. And that's something that you can monitor.
Right. But in general, though, the inflammation, the body is doing something that it's supposed to do?
Yes, it is.
All right.
It's going through a process of detoxification. It's analogous in the animal kingdom to when an animal goes through a shed. When they shed their skin, they get sick and they don't eat and they crawl into the corner for a day or two, and then once the shed is completed, they've got a new skin and they're back and healthy again. And that's it's
wow. And so you believe then if moms give wanting to make the baby comfortable, Tylenol and those kinds of things, what can happen?
Well, there's better ways of making a child comfortable than giving them Tylenol, because Tylenol is a liver toxic drug. And as a matter of fact, there are about 400 deaths per year from Tylenol overdosage, liver failure deaths.
But you also were saying that possibly you could drive this imbalance deeper and could cause problems later on.
Yes. Well, in other words, let's use the analogy of let's say a human being, a child, an adult, doesn't matter. Let's say they've inhaled some tobacco smoke. We use that as a toxin.
All right.
It can be any toxin. It can be, you know, it can be
a chemical at home.
It can be a chemical. It can be mercury, whatever.
All right.
It can be mercury from a vaccine.
Okay.
It can be but whatever it is, let's say it's in the body. Now, the body doesn't like to have that toxin in there, so it will try to get rid of it. Now, there are only a few ways that the body can get rid of things. It forms mucus and can try to dissolve the toxin in the mucus and then bring it out that way.
That's what mucus is doing, trying to get it out of the body.
Right.
Right.
So when you have, that's called a discharge. So when mucus is coming out of your throat or your nose, it's trying to get rid of something that has been in the body that the body doesn't want.
So if you stop that discharge, what will happen?
You can stop the discharge by giving antibiotics or anti-fever drugs and just sort of cool down all the symptoms. So let's say the nose doesn't run so much. Antihistamines even. You could dry up the discharge. But then what the body's been trying to get rid of just settles deeper into the
body. Ah, it goes back deeper into the body.
Right.
But see, we weren't taught that, and moms don't know that, because moms think, well, they have a cold, a runny nose, or fever, we have to get rid of it and get them more comfortable, right?
Right.
That's just so, and it's just the opposite.
Well, you do want to get them more comfortable.
Right. Okay.
But there are better ways of doing that. Most of the world, what they do, I mean, for ages, what people have done when children or adults are sick is sweating, purging, and fasting.
Okay, we'll talk about that right after the break. Sweating, purging, or fasting.
That's what most developing countries do.
Very interesting. We have to break, Dr. Nkayo. Stay right there. 836-0590, #590 if you'd like to be on the show. My name is Patrick Timpone.
Timpone Show. The phone lines are open for you at 836-0590. Now, Patrick Timpone.
Also, if you're calling long distance, 877-590-KLBJ, 877-590-5525. We're with Dr. Philip Nkayo, INCAO. He's out of Denver, knows a lot about vaccinations. You can learn more about him, his website, philipnkayo.com. Is it Nkayo or Nkayo?
Well, it depends on whether you're an American or a European.
All right. What do you say, sir?
Yeah, in America, we say Nkayo.
Nkayo.
Yes.
Philip Nkayo, INCAO, excuse me, .com. He's been at this, working on the immune system, talking about it for 27 years. Now, so just before the break, and we'll get to the calls then, Dr. Nkayo, you were saying that these different things that happen to the babies, inflammations, or if we have diarrhea, rashes, fevers, these are natural things that the body does to rid the body of this imbalance. Is that correct?
Well, yes.
Okay, is it too,
correct.
Too simplistic? Or?
They're developmental processes. They belong to growing up. It's, you know, we kind of think that the ideal state would be to, for people, adults and children, never, ever, ever to get sick. But, and that's what we've been trying to do. We've been trying to eradicate illness. But if you eradicate inflammatory illness, acute inflammations, which means infections,
mm-hmm.
then what experience is showing is that then you only create chronic inflammations and other kinds of illnesses. So you don't really get rid of illness, you just shift the balance and create really a more difficult kind of illness.
And you believe that if moms unknowingly, you know, trying to do the best thing, this is what they're taught, would give intervene into these inflammations and these cleansing properties, that they actually can drive these toxins deeper into the body. And that's one of the reasons why we have such a huge influx of asthma and allergies and other autoimmune problems, ear infections. Is that correct?
Yes. With asthma, I can give you actually some statistics.
I mean, that's fantastic when you think about that.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of faith, though, for moms not to really intervene and get rid of this stuff, right?
Well,
I mean, they have to understand how this works, and that's why we're doing this, I guess.
Yeah, they need to understand that you pay a price. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch, as my father always told me. So, you know, what is the price that you pay for suppressing that fever? You're not healing anything. You're suppressing a bodily function. The body is producing the fever, and you go ahead and suppress it with the drug. What are you shifting? You're shifting a certain process in the body, and that means that if the fever is the body's weapon against the infection, then you are weakening the body's fight against the infection.
So it's a natural thing for the to have a fever.
Sure.
And that's why you were saying before the break that in many cultures they do sweating or purging, which would be like to move the bowels,
right,
or fasting.
Right.
These are ways that you can help the body to get rid of the toxins.
That's right.
Very interesting. 40 minutes after 7 o'clock, let's go to on a mobile phone to Jay. You're on KOBJ with Dr. Philip and Kao.
Yeah, hi, Patrick. Best show on this station. Dr. Nkeo, if you are a doctor worthy of the title. I want to ask you about vaccinations, and you said that there's a critical mass being reached amongst people that realizing that this vaccination theory of disease prevention is, to me, it's a big fraud. Can you answer that at all, or...
Well, I mean, I would say that vaccination is based on the idea that nobody should ever have to get sick. And so if you prevent people from getting sick, you can do that and get away with it. Well, if you prevent them from getting sick, then that means you're changing their immune system in one way or the other. And we've never really looked at that. We never really looked at, how are the vaccinations affecting the immune system? And I think how they affect it is they make acute illness less likely, but they make chronic illness more likely.
Acute?
Is that being realized amongst doctors? And
No, that's not realized at all.
So, Dr. Nkeo, to the moms listening, though, you know, to play devil's advocate with you, are there not... little polio viruses and diphtheria viruses and pertussin and measles and mumps little viruses running around out there that moms just have to protect their child from?
Well, I've been practicing for 30 years, and I have a lot of unvaccinated children in my practice, and they haven't gotten sick with all these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of these illnesses declined 90%, with the exception of polio. All the other illnesses declined 90% before the vaccines were even introduced.
So do you think the body is really strong enough to deal with these germs, because there's just a lot of... You really do, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I know
most
you do.
Kids, if they are, most kids in a healthy middle class society have excellent resistance to these infections, and all the dire predictions that the doctors make, like, for example, the law just was passed in Texas allowing a philosophical exemption to vaccines, and I've read that a lot of the doctors are saying, oh, this is very bad because we're going to see increased cases of illness. Well, I don't think you're going to see increased cases of illness.
All right, it's 43 after 7. Let's go to, David in Driftwood. You're on KLBJ with Dr. Philip and Kale.
Hi, I had a question for you, kind of along the same lines there, Patrick. I was wondering, what was the percentage of folks that had gotten, you know, polio back in the old days compared to, you know, before we got the vaccinations, compared to the people, the percentage of people that are getting muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, and lupus and things like that now? I've heard that there's maybe a direct relation that we've cured polio, but we've created some of these other things.
Well, that definitely all the chronic illnesses are on the increase.
And why is that?
Just about most of the chronic conditions.
Do we know why, Dr. Nkayo?
Not really. Yeah. I mean, you know what? It's basically a question of the will to find out. And there are certain questions that just don't get asked in medicine today. And it's just accepted that these things are there. And no, people generally in medicine are not interested in prevention. They're interested in treating the chronic illness. And a chronic illness is something that has to be treated for a long, long time. Whereas an acute illness, it's usually over within a week anyway.
Acute would mean just a temporary kind of a fever, inflammation, something like that.
Yeah, a fever, a cold, a strep throat, a earache. Usually it's just a matter of a few days.
And do you think then vaccinations will weaken the immune system because the body doesn't get a chance to fight off these little viruses and bacteria?
I think it makes the immune system more sluggish. So then people that have had too many vaccines or too many antibiotics, they're not able to produce a fever.
Wow. You mean the body can't even make a fever?
Well, they only get low-grade fevers. They don't get a good... I mean, the ability to produce a high fever is a sign of a strong immune system.
Because the body's really literally burning the toxins.
Exactly. In fact...
Wow.
This was an experiment that was done by the evolutionary biologists. There's a group of biologists who believe that evolution gave us the ability to make a fever for a good reason. And the reason is that the fever is the flame that cleanses the body, you could say. And they took a bunch of cold-blooded animals, like lizards, and they injected them with bacteria. And they had a heat lamp there in their cage, and when those lizards got injected with the bacteria, they stayed under the heat lamp longer, and they got hotter, and their body temperature went up.
It's fascinating.
And they all survived the injection, but if they turned the heat lamp off, then the lizards died.
Wow, very interesting.
So it showed that instinctively these animals knew that to get over that infection, they had to make themselves hot. And I had a patient recently who grew up in Africa, and I said, what did your parents do when you had a fever, when you were a kid, when you were sick? He said, they wrapped me up in blankets.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I sweated a lot.
Yeah.
And that's how... You know, 80% of the world still treats childhood illness.
You know, it's funny. That's what my mom used to do as well. She would never give us anything. I don't know where she got that, but
Well, see, that's why you know how to think so well.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about that. All right, doctor, we're going to take a short break. 47 minutes after 7. Frank, who's in New York City, hold on. He's on the toll-free line. And we have a doctor on line 2 we're going to talk with after this on News Radio 590 KLBJ.
This is the Patrick Timpone Show on News Radio 590 KLBJ.
Our guest next week says that the property tax in Texas is an optional tax. Now that I have your attention, we'll move on. That's right. That's what he says. He'll join us at 6 o'clock next week right here on the show. 836-0590, pound 590. If you are mobile, and we are with Dr. Philip Nkeo, philipnkeo.com. I'm going to spell that for you. philipnkeo.com if you'd like to get more information. Also, the current issue of Mothering Magazine, it's a great story called The Healing Crisis. Don't Worry, Mom, I'm Just Growing. In Mothering Magazine, you'll learn more about it. Listening on the web in New York City, let's go to Frank. How are things in the city, Frank?
They're pretty good today. We're getting a lot of rain, but I guess we'll deal with it.
You're listening on 590 KLBJ. Welcome to the show. What can we do for you?
I wanted to ask Dr. Nkeo this thing he's been talking about, the healing process that is brought about or worked with or through a fever and things of that nature, and the general treatment being to give antibiotics or something like that. Now, is this idea that this is actually cutting short the healing process, is this generally accepted in the medical community or what?
No. It's not medical. It's not generally accepted. No, it's generally accepted that, I would say that it's accepted that you don't give antibiotics for viral illnesses, and you only do it for bacterial illnesses. But the body is capable of, certainly, of getting rid of a viral infection without any help from any drugs. And it's also capable of getting rid of a bacterial infection, too. The immune system has done that for, you know, for centuries and generations. But, of course, when a infection is out of control, then an antibiotic can be a life-saving intervention. I'm not saying you never use antibiotics, but I think that we've been indiscriminate with the use of antibiotics. And when you use antibiotics when they're not needed, it's like using a crutch for your leg when you don't need it. It'll make your leg weaker the longer you use the crutch. And and there are studies that show that the more antibiotics you have, the greater the risk of asthma, one illness that's been studied in connection with antibiotics.
And Dr. Kyle, do you think that the antibiotics in meat and poultry are an issue?
Yes, I do, because they're causing more antibiotic-resistant germs to be out there, and they're going to make the germ stronger.
Did you have something else, Frank?
Yeah, I guess just one other area that he might develop if he hasn't done it already, and that is what the possible long-term effects of some vaccinations might be, I mean, given these ideas.
All right, we'll talk about that. Thanks for calling, Frank. Frank in New York City, listening on the web, 590klbj.com. What do we know the long-term effect? I mean, how could you tell something like that?
Well, unfortunately, that's very, very difficult to study because it would take a lot of money and a very difficult time to take a group. Ideally, what we should do is take a group of vaccinated children and a group of unvaccinated children and follow them for 10 years. But that would probably cost many, many million dollars to do a study like that. And most of the studies do not even compare vaccinated to unvaccinated children. But there was a study done in Los Angeles at the UCLA School of Public Health by Dr. Eric Hurwitz that showed that the vaccinated children, and they, all they had was tetanus or tetanus diphtheria. He didn't even look at all the other vaccinations.
Uh-huh.
But even with just that vaccine, the vaccinated children, compared with children that had no vaccination, the vaccinated children had twice the amount of asthma.
Twice the amount of asthma.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can skip this guy, sneak this call in. Is this Mike?
Yes, it is.
Are you a doctor, Mike?
Yes, I am.
Yes, what can we do for you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Dr. Nkayo, I practice traditional medicine, and I'm going to call that evidence-based medicine, meaning you have to back up what you say, you just can't say it. Two things you said tonight I strongly disagree with. A, you said, well, a lot of your patients aren't vaccinated, and look, they don't get these diseases. Well, it's called the herd effect. The reason they don't get these diseases, doctor, is because the rest of our kids are. Therefore, the herd, meaning the rest of us that are vaccinated, don't have much disease to pass along to your patients. You can thank us. I think that's bad medicine. So that, to me, makes no sense.
Hey, we're short on time. We're short on time, doctor. Let's see. Let's get a response on that so we can deal with that one first. Go ahead, doctor.
All right.
Well, if you look at, for example, Sweden, when they stopped using the DPT vaccine, the pertussis vaccine, the cases of pertussis increased, but the death rate did not increase. So far, what we've observed in countries like Sweden, countries like Germany, countries like England, whenever they've decreased the pertussis, to give an example, the vaccine, the death rates have not increased. In fact, there's no correlation between the death rate of pertussis and whether they vaccinate or not. And I could give you the references for that. So I think that we don't really know all the reasons why people catch an infection. And I'm not sure about the herd effect. There's still a lot of illness, and it's not so much whether they get the illness, but whether they get serious cases of it. We want to strengthen the child's own resistance, and you don't necessarily strengthen a child's resistance by trying to prevent them from having any kind of challenge to their immune system at all. If the immune system is going to be strong, it's got to be challenged, and that way it can develop.
Doctor, thank you for calling. And Dr. Nkayo, we have to go. We're out of time. Will you do it again sometime real soon?
Sure.
Yeah, I'd like to, and we may even do a couple of hours because there's a lot here and lots of questions, and I'd like to get in. We have a lot more callers, but we're flat out of time. It's philipnkayo.com, right? philipnkayo.com. Folks would like to get more information. Thank you for spending some time with us, and we'll see you soon, sir.
This is Austin's 24-hour news station, News Radio 590, KLBJ.
I'm Ricky Reyes. The state of Texas was a political hotspot this afternoon. Several thousand people rallied on the front steps of the...